What is happening, everybody? I'm here with none other than John Benson, the billion-dollar copywriter himself, the inventor of the VSL, and quite possibly one of the smartest people I know when it comes to AI, copy, and everything else in between. John, I'm absolutely delighted that you're here and can't wait to dive into everything we're going to cover.
Thanks, John. Great to be here, man. Thank you.
So, we're going to talk a lot about Benson over the course of this episode. But first things first, obviously in the last 12 to 18 months, AI has kind of exploded onto the scene. But you've been tackling AI for years, like well before ChatGPT was ever even thought of, never let alone published. So, like, where do you see, just to dive right into the deep of it, like, where do you see AI as it is right now, whether it's in its infancy or whatever the case is, and where do you see it going in the next couple of years with what you're doing with Benson, but also with like AI in general as itself?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that AI is kind of crossed out of infancy with 3.5 and into what I call AI right now is a petulant tween. So it does what it wants to, yeah, you know, but it's kind of in that position right now. And obviously with the recent Google stuff with Sora coming out, with the fiasco that was Gemini, which was hilarious, but with the capabilities of tools like Gemini, you're getting into those teenage years. I think that we're very optimistically 7 months. When I say optimistically, I'm leaving that open to be whether AGI is a good thing or not, but we're still in ANI, which is narrow intelligence. That's what these LLMs are. That's what Chat and Claude and Grok, they're all basically narrow intelligent machines. We're not at general intelligence, which is a machine that has all the functionality of a human being, essentially, and a lot more. So general intelligence is you're getting into realms of, is the machine conscious, and all these kind of really deep philosophical questions. But we're 7 to 14 months away from that. And that's my best guess is from reading a bunch of people, following a bunch of people on the inside that kind of know. Some people have said that GPT-5 is all you need on a local, meaning that you just run it on a local machine and it's enough for AGI. So I don't know. I know that 5, GPT-5 is going to do to the world way more than what GPT-4 did to the world. And no one really knew about ChatGPT until 4 came out. I mean, people did. Obviously, we were working with it, but it wasn't anything like when 4 came out. It took the world by storm. And 5 is going to be even bigger. And so if anyone's interested in this, as far as like what we do is copywriting, and that's extremely specific. Marketing and copywriting is actually one of the hardest things for AI to do well. It doesn't seem like it would be. It would seem like it's a lot harder to text a prompt in and say, create me a video of X, right? Well, AI has been trained on millions and millions and millions of specific models to learn how to do that. It has not been trained on millions and millions and millions of copywriting models specifically. It's just been trained on a bunch of stuff. So it's trying to put together sentences, and you're trying to tell it to write like a copywriter, and it's trying to figure that out. So it's still very much on the public level, except for Benson, not even in its adolescence. It's more like it's really bad. And ChatGPT is a terrible copywriter. Now it can be an okay copywriter if you prompt the hell out of it, if you just refine and refine and refine and no prompts, all a bunch of stuff. And that's all fine and dandy. But I don't know about you. That's not how I want to go about living my life as a prompt engineer. So that's why we built Benson, because you don't have to do that. But as far as where AI is going, the big thing next is definitely these AI assistants that are going to basically link a whole bunch of things together, and all you have to do is use a voice command and say, "Hey AI, you know, check my email, then reply to Bob and say something about not wanting to make Mrs. Party," and it would write the email in your style to Bob, you know, and you could prove it, and it would actually write it. You know? And these things are going to be huge time savers. They're going to get rid of a lot of positions. Like assistants will eventually kind of fade into the background. A lot of assistant workers are going to be in peril when GPT-5 comes out, for sure. So yeah. GPT-5 will be able to do a lot of things that, that 4 can't do, and that includes write. It still is going to have probably issues with copywriting because it's such a, you know, why would OpenAI focus on copywriting? It's such a minuscule area of the market in comparison. So yeah, where I see it being the biggest influence is on the bigger things in life, on booking hotels and booking restaurants and acting as a personal assistant and, you know, handling your dry cleaning. And these sound really mundane, but if you think about it, it could change the world as you know it. If you just simply say, and then it starts catching on, says, hey, do you want me to book your massage for you on Thursday? I mean, it's kind of cool. It's like Siri on steroids.
If you're watching this show and you're an online business owner, one of the best things you can do is leverage Evergreen Scaling to finally make paid advertising profitable for you. It allows you to consistently scale your products, services, or offers in a way that other methods simply don't. If you're not currently turning paid advertising into new leads and sales every single day, you're likely missing out on untapped revenue and profits in your business. So if you want to get more leads and get more sales consistently and predictably, my advice is to start leveraging Evergreen Scaling in your paid ads ASAP. Now, obviously, you don't need to be doing everything yourself. We can absolutely do it all for you. And if that's something that you'd like to find out more about, you can go to e5agency.com/CFM. You'll see exactly how we're helping multi-six-figure and seven-figure businesses acquire new leads and sales daily using our Evergreen Scaling system. You can visit e5agency.com/CFM for full details.
Cool.
So let's get a little bit more specific in terms of AI and copy. So
yeah,
like when Chat 3.5 just first came out and then when it was 4, mm-hmm. people were kind of going wild over durability to, like, everybody says copywriting right. is dead. Copywriters yeah. are going to be obsolete and blah, 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 blah. You have right. a completely different ideal on what's going to happen with the future of copy and AI. So talk a little bit about that. And then we can dive into all things Benson and promptless AI and everything else after that.
Yeah, yeah, cool. I think AI is the biggest threat to copywriters that's ever existed, to bad copywriters, to copywriters that are just average or bad, you know, that you know, are writing blah, blah, ginger copy for some ad agency somewhere, because AI can do that. It can write some blasé milk toast email for, you know, to get some business to get in the door of another business. And as long as those two people, the business owner and the other business owner, don't realize the copy is terrible and they're just reading it as the generic lame thing that comes across in their inbox, then everything's fine. It's the moment you move into any sort of copy that needs to be persuasive, that needs to actually be heard and felt, you know, a visceral experience like direct response copy, you know, GPT, whatever, 5, probably the same. It's hard to say because we don't know what 5 looks like, but 4 definitely. It's just not, it's capable of doing it with a lot of learning. So where I say copywriters land right now is if you don't know AI and you don't know how to leverage it, you're going to be out of a job for sure. But not because it writes better than you. It writes far faster than you, and most people don't know what good copy is. That's why. So if you know what good copy is and you know how to edit the copy that comes out of AI and make it ready, make it compelling, make it more NLP friendly, whatever you're trying to do, then you have a superpower. I mean, you have a shot in the world that we never had before. So if you can advertise yourself as, hey, I'm a copywriter who also knows how to get the best out of AI, well, congratulations, you are probably going to be employed for the rest of your life. So that is a very big opportunity for copywriters, in my opinion. And it's one of the reasons we built Benson, which is, the tool to do that.
So tell us a little bit about Benson. So why we won't talk about why you call it Benson, but why are you all in on Benson, and why do you think it's so far superior than, like, the mainstream, like, yeah. just using chat or something like that?
Well, the prompt engineers on our team, when they came on, they both said the same thing. They were like, you know what? You know, we've been building these models and training, you know, OpenAI models and OpenAI itself, in one case, from the inception, and we've never seen it done like this. So kind of interesting that, you know, I just figured out a way to, a couple of years ago, to mess with it to where it could output stuff, you know. So let me give you an example. I'll give you a silly example for anyone that's been following the Google Gemini travesty, you know, that you would type in like, you know, show me a picture of, you know, Nazi Germany in 1935.
That's crazy.
Yeah. They would show pictures, just like not even remotely accurate pictures, let's put it that way.
Of Asian women in uniforms.
Right, right. Yeah. And black guys in uniforms and stuff. And it just horrifically insulting to Asians and black guys. And they're trying to do it to be woke. And of course, that always ends in disaster. But so in the process of trying to be inclusive and woke, it just kind of ruins everything. Well, that same mentality, not from the same reason, because that was done for political reasons. That was done as a prompt was entered. And I personally believe they were changing the prompt because the machine is trained. It's not, there's not a programming going on in AI. That's the thing people don't really get about AI. They're used to computers, right? They're used to things being programmed. AI is in artificial intelligence. It's actually learned. It's not programmed. So the only influence a programmer has over it into what feeds into it. And that's a big thing. So if you type, you know, show me a picture of a tree, and they change the input to show me a picture of a mountain, guess what? The mountain's going to come out, right? It's not the AI, it's the input. So the inputs, I think, were being changed. But the same thing is true for copy. So if you say, write me an email based on so-and-so, right now, GPT-4 is trained on the internet up to about 2023. And if I wanted to train somebody on how to write copy, the last thing I would do is say, go read the internet. This is like, I mean, everyone should immediately know this is a recipe for disaster. So I like to give a lot of analogs here because it makes it make sense. Let's say that you wanted to teach somebody, I'm a musician, you wanted to teach somebody how to play, let's say guitar, since most people know guitar more than bass. And your kid is sitting there going, okay, I don't have any idea how to play guitar. Would you say, okay, what first thing I want you to do is go read the internet. And when you're done with that, come back and talk to me and say your kid's superhuman and goes to read the internet. Okay, Dad, I read the entire internet. Now I know everything there is to know about guitar from, you know, Jimi Hendrix to the worst guitar player on the face of the earth. You know, so and that's how it's learned copy. And guess what? Do you think there are more Jimi Hendrix in the world or more worst guitar players in the face of the, well, obviously there's a lot more bad music than good music, technically and every other way. And certainly from a taste position, you dislike 99% of the music that you listen to. Well, chat has no way of deciphering what's good or bad. I mean, it's kind of learning as it goes along, but until AGI, in general intelligence, that's what it is. General intelligence would say, oh, I don't like that. That's not good. That's not melodic or whatever. Well, ANI can't do that. So the same thing goes for copy. So I'm teaching little Johnny to write copy and say, go read the internet. He's going to read 99% shit. And then 1% will be a John Carlton letter or a Gary Benzavenga letter or something that's got all the right persuasion triggers in it. So what we've done is just give it the 1%. That's essentially what Benson is the 1%. And we know that because the people that have to build copywriting apps are copywriters. I know that's a shock, but unless you have copywriters that also have some sort of an idea of how AI works, which right there, you're in a fraction of a percent of people. I mean, there's copywriters that saw the money on the wall, the handwriting on the wall and the money on the wall and dove into it and tried to figure it out with people. But I've been actually building, you know, and working with this stuff from getting my hands dirty on it for 10 years now, breaking out language patterns and all the stuff for Now VSL, for CopyPro. These were not AI apps, but that was prepping me to get ready for how do we teach AI language patterns. And so now we know what makes Benson different is it's not doing the AI thing. It's not, we're not asking it to write something without any context. We're saying in the context of all of this stuff, of let's take a lead of a sales letter. Hey, take a look at all these leads of sales letters and notice what patterns are in them. Now apply the same patterns over here, but use our customers, what we call blueprint, use their data, use their offer, their goals, their dreams, which Benson also writes for them, which is kind of cool. So next thing you know, there's something that's never existed before it comes out, but it reads like, wow, it looks like an A-list copywriter wrote this. Because it's being, we force it into this little narrow path where it's just following very specific patterns. And when I say by patterns, I don't mean templates. I mean, we're teaching it certain ways to do things. And we're saying, here's something we want you to look at. Now, I want you to use that as inspiration to come up with something else based on all of these parameters. And so it's a four-step process that we're using. It's not a prompt. So it's why, by the way, we can talk about Benson being promptless AI. It's not, we use prompts in the back end, of course, but the user never uses a prompt because we found that was the worst way to get information out of it. Not that some people can't use prompts really well, but you don't want to be a prompt engineer. You just want to go in there and say, I need a sales letter for so-and-so. Give it to me. You know, let me click a few buttons and get something that's like 90% ready, you know, which again, you can't do unless you have a copywriter that knows, well, what are the sections of a sales letter and how many of those sections are needed for a problem solution letter, a contrarian letter, a unique mechanism letter. I mean, you can go down all that. You don't need to know all that stuff. You just need to know, oh, I like this one or I don't like this one. Right. And so we try to make it that kind of, you know, user simplicity focused in. But the only way to do that was to take the prompts out of it for the user and allow us to do all the heavy lifting.
Yeah. And obviously I've seen Benson, I've used it, and it does exactly what you're saying. I kind of akin it to, like, obviously chat and OpenAI and all the other kind of large scale language models. That's what they are. They're large language models. Whereas like Benson is like, it's a very narrow focus around insanely good copy that's been proven to work and proven to convert. And that's what it's learned off. It hasn't learned off, like you said, the junk guitar players. It's learned off the cream of the crop. It's learned off Jimmy and everybody else.
Exactly.
And not Tommy in his garage that like found a guitar on the side of the street and plucked a few strings and thought he was a musician. So
yeah. And if we take the Jimi Hendrix thing, and which is funny because I've never been a Hendrix fan, but if we take the Jimi Hendrix thing, or I'll take someone I like, Alan Holdsworth. Okay. We take Alan Holdsworth, one of the greatest guitar players who ever lived. And you listen to Alan Holdsworth, who sounds like he's an alien from another planet, right? But if you say, okay, I want you to model what Alan is doing in this phrase, and you hear this ungodly phrase that he plays, and the AI goes, oh, okay, so I'm supposed to use this, you know, B flat diminished 9 chord, and I use this and whatever, you know, he figures out all the chords, and then, okay, and then he's using this altered scale over this and all that. It figures it out based on the pattern and says, now create something new based on that. And it will create something new based around that using the internet that it read, right? And so, but it's constrained. It's really tight around this area. And then we know in places where AI is very good, and we'll say, now you can improvise in this bus, just improvise, just follow the same basic stuff. And then when it starts improvising, it improvises way better than if you just prompt in improvise into ChatGPT. So by the way, I'm not saying ChatGPT isn't a great tool. I'll use it all the time. It's a fantastic tool for just hundreds of things that we use all the time. I'm just saying that when it comes to words that sell, you're not going to get better than Benson words. It's a very specific application, very specific tool.
And then, so one of the, you kind of touched upon it a little bit, but the whole, for some people, prompting is they just love doing it. They love going deep into prompting. Mm-hmm. For the business owner, for the entrepreneur, for the copywriter who just wants the result, who like doesn't want to spend all their time prompting, doesn't want to spend all their time refining their prompts and coming up with new prompts to make as the thing grows, and they just want the Facebook ad, they just want the YouTube ad, or they just want the sales letter or the advertorial or whatever the case it is, or the emails to sequences and everything else. They want that. Mm-hmm. Like, one of the key things that behind Benson, which I think is really, really neat, is, and it makes it more simple, makes it easier, is the whole idea of promptless AI. So like, you're not in there putting in a 6-page prompt to get an email. You're so like, walk us through like the promptless AI. Why you went down that road? Was it just a natural progression of when you were developing Benson, or why promptless AI over just giving people prompts?
Two reasons. One is, I, except for personally and nutritionally, I was a huge fan of the late Steve Jobs. Yeah, I think Steve Jobs had a way of seeing things that certainly no, very few people at Apple today do, although, I mean, they're starting to come out with some interesting stuff, but Steve Jobs just was able to see things from other people, from other applications and go, wait, there's a way better way of doing this. And almost always his way was, I'm going to strip everything out for the user to do. They're just going to press a few buttons. And if you talk to computer programmers, they're like, oh, I'm so frustrated with Apple. I can't do this. I can't do that. Yeah, because it's not built for you. It's built for people that don't want to, in my case, I don't want the prompt engineers to come into Benson, except if they need good copy, because I'm saving them a shit ton of time because they're going to have to figure out not only all the prompts that you would have to send to like something like OpenAI to get this copy, but you'd have to send, you'd have to find all the frameworks. You'd have to find, and we're using frameworks in very specific ways. Like we know that we're going to follow a benefit block with an NLP term. So unless you know that, and it's that what I said even makes any grammatical sense to you, right? Well, good luck. You could totally, yeah, you could prompt your way there if you give yourself, I don't know, a few hours, a few days maybe, and then you figure out, and then you would have one little piece of copy. And then if you had to create like, well, now I got to create emails for that. Here we go again, right? So Benson just removes all that. So one reason was the Steve Jobs effect. We wanted it to be super easy. And the other thing was that I found that prompts were the thing that were getting in most people's way. Because what we found out, I mean, the weird thing about AI is AI, the reason why copywriters tend to gravitate toward it and do well is because it actually responds fairly well to prompts that are well-written. So copywriters are experts in taking a lot of information and distilling it down into, here's the information you need to know. And that's pretty much what AI wants to hear, along with some actually emotive language, which believe it or not, I sometimes swear at it, you know, so it's just enough to get it to really pay attention to what we're doing. Remember, petulant tween. So if you remember that and you talk to it like a petulant tween, you will get better results than if you just try to be a robot and try to talk like you're talking to a robot. So that's complicated to learn. It took years to learn that stuff, right? And then I just stumbled my way into a few things that worked really, really well. Like I said, our two prompt engineers said, we've never seen anyone do it quite like this. We understand what you're doing, but it's the order of things is a little weird, right? And so I guess a combination of things where we knew that if we didn't take the prompts out of it, that people would just have to continually guess, that they'd be in the process of like, oh, now I want this or now I want this. And so what we did instead is we said, okay, what are all the possibilities that we know as copywriters that someone might want given Benson's AI proclivities, meaning if we send out to OpenAI or Grok or whatever, because we can send to all sorts of different LLMs eventually. And so it comes back and we know, oh, because when this copy comes back, we're looking at it as copywriters going, you know what? We almost always have to kill the poet on this one, meaning it comes back too poetic. And there's, again, petulant tween. You can say, don't be a poet all you want to in the prompt. Doesn't matter. It's going to do it anyway. So what we found is that, well, if you refine that, if you tell it to kill the poet and we just default that as the thing that you should do, then the user can do that if they don't like it, or they can refine it in 40 other ways. So we found the 40 ways that you need to, that you can refine copy that will give you the best possible results. And then people can combine them with their own, what they like. So instead of messing with prompts, you just got to just, oh, I'll try this one and this one. And so, you know, those are essentially prompts, right? That we're sending to the AI with one big massive difference is the AI sends just prompts. In other words, I'm looking at just a command to say, let's say that I wanted to write something and say, rewrite this and make it simpler, right? Simple prompt. So I copy and paste into chat and say, just rewrite this more simplistic. Use the language that you would use for a fifth grader or whatever you want to say. So it's going to do that perfectly well most of the time. But what we're sending is that along with the context of everything else that's above it. So we get to send these little mega prompts to AI. And that's what gives us the better results. So we can get some, so you combine all that, you don't need prompts. I mean, there's really not a lot of use from it. We are coming out with something called Focuser in probably be about 4 or 5 months away from now, but where people can type in, they can get an email or, you know, an ad or whatever they wanted to generate. And then they can change the focus of the entire ad just by typing in the word that they want to focus on. So that's a kind of a prompt, but not really, because you don't type in a command. You don't have to say, rewrite this and focus on blah, blah, blah. You just type in cholesterol. I mean, so if you just type in cholesterol in chat, you know, and type enter, good luck, right? But you can do that in Benson. So that's so we're just trying to make it as user friendly as possible, because honestly, I don't want to be a prompt engineer, man. I don't think most
people. And the reality is people don't want to be a prompt engineer either. They like people that are looking for copy, whether it's a copywriter, whether they're writing copy for themselves or they're writing copy for their clients, or if it's a small business owner, an online business owner, and they have an internal marketing team, or they're a one-man show and they're doing everything themselves. They don't want to be spending all their time prompting. Like, they want the result. And like, one of the really cool features of Benson that I think is, it's not just a feature, it's actually a benefit, is the magic button. And I know like, it's nearly like it's tongue in cheek that there's a magic button inside of Benson, but what is the magic button, and like, tell people exactly what it does.
Yeah. Well, so, by the way, we trademarked Promptless AI because you asked about that. And I just said it on a webinar one night. This is like, I was like, you know, basically Benson does this and you don't need this. You don't need this. Like, it's kind of Promptless AI. And then I went, oh, and everybody went, oh, and I went, oh, write that down. Call Lori.
Write it down.
So that's what we did. And so, so the same thing is true for the magic button. Because we were looking at it. It's like, you know, the designers designed it and it was like, okay, what do you want the command to be on the button? Like, generate was, and generate sounded so AI. It sounded so Cody. We still have a couple of things because we're an MVP, so we still have a couple of things that are too Cody for me. And I like to take it out. We don't do anything with tokens. We don't do anything with word counts. We don't do any of that crap. I wanted to remove all the AI from the AI, with the exception of what you got out of it. But so when we got down to the button, I said, "Nah, we need to say something like funny, like, you know, like give it to me." Or I said, "No, just call it the magic button, because that's kind of what it's like." I mean, you literally like click on this framework and you see 9 parts of a sales letter, and all it's asking you to do is click the magic button. So okay, I click it, and then the thing starts writing. I'm like, "Wow, that is really." It felt so magical the first time I saw it. The very first thing we ran through Benson was trained it on was pattern interrupt stories. So in other words, nightmare stories. And so I trained it on how to create a pattern interrupt for a VSL and then how to create a story. And at first the stories were bad, you know, it's just like lame. And then this is just a long series of training that we got the thing to write like I wrote. And then it wrote a story that was just so incredible that I was like, I can't believe it's like, it was writing a story. And the only thing that we gave it was, there was a chiropractor, we made all this up, a chiropractor named John Smith. And the only thing we put in is like, what's the background of the story is, I said, I went to a Rush concert with my buddy Steve in college, which is true. So that was me, but it had nothing to do with back pain, right? And so it wrote this nightmare story brilliantly around the back pain and the spasms he was suffering during this Rush concert. And then it quoted one of the Rush song lyrics, Limelight. It found the lyrics to Limelight and said, oh, I was trapped in my own gilded cage. I'm like, oh my God, this is like A-level stuff. This is like high-level writing. And so that got us, I said, this is like a magic button. And then I said, we're going to call it the magic button because it is. It kind of is, you know? And so it's kind of a knock on the thing that people have known me in marketing for, you know, 20 years now. I'll say, look, there's no magic button solution to weight loss. No, but we actually have a magic button solution to copy. So, so I can say that proudly. This is literally the magic button. It's literally says it on the button, which is kind of fun. So there's that and the cloner thing. I mean, when we started messing with cloner, which is integrated into Benson, that does feel like people love it. That really does feel magical, where I can just copy and paste anything that I like into cloner and it'll rewrite it for me. That's really pretty badass too. So
yeah, really, really cool. So yeah. Obviously with Benson, there's a lot of things it can do, mm-hmm. in terms of emails, ads, sales letters, VSLs, copy chunks and everything else. Like what are some of the things that you're proudest that it can do in terms of like its output?
Yeah, man. It's like proudest. So it took me like 2 weeks to train it on a webinar. So I'm very proud that it's the only AI that can produce an hour and a half long webinar script.
Wow.
Yeah, that's like really hard. And it's really funny because only a few people have actually used it. I didn't build that for the masses because, I mean, not a lot of people use webinars, but the people that do, the webinar model is me, Jason Fladlin, Mike Vilsame, Russell Brunson, all four of us put together. So four guys that really know webinars pretty well. And so we created this kind of Frankenstein version of it. And yeah, it's pretty impressive. So proud of that. One of my team members, Derek, did a great job with the email generator, and that's really cool. We wanted the dream was we had all these different email patterns, and we call these frameworks. So an email that has a specific structure is a framework of an email. Well, for emails, there's like thousands of frameworks. It's like you can't keep up on them. And I didn't want them to be like a thousand different, you know, here's an email one, here's email two, here's email 675. It doesn't make any sense. So we wanted to create the email generator, which is trained on all these thousands of models. And all you do is go in and just keep clicking the button, and you create like a content email, a problem solution email, a promotional email, blind promotional email. So that's really cool because you never have to write another email again, which is really cool. And we still have my epic emails that are specific to me in there and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I'd say that and Cloner. Cloner was just almost didn't get, we almost didn't roll it out with Vincent.
So explain just for people that are watching, explain what Cloner is and what it does.
Yeah. So Cloner was originally, and Cloner may spin off and be its own thing one day, but Cloner was originally like, kind of like a stupid human trick that we were doing where we were saying, while we're building these frameworks, because it takes a time to train Benson on a framework, because we have to go in and say, okay, well, yeah, that's right, but be sure to include these blueprint variables because you're not writing it right. You know, it's just a lot of, you know, there's a lot of, Benson is entirely manual. Let me tell you something, as far as getting copy into the machine, this is not like, oh, go out and send a prompt and come back and write a VSL. You will never get good copy ever. You can't prompt your way to good copy. So we have a manual team that goes through and does every little thing. And then at that point, it becomes completely AI and completely automated. And that's really cool. But getting it to get to that point is very difficult. So yeah, man. Sorry, I got sidetracked on the question there. But then Cloner came about as a way to kind of ease people into waiting for Benson to be trained on frameworks. And so we'd say, okay, we got like six frameworks. Here's a VSL. Here's a sales funnel. Like we had a whole sales funnel. We rolled it out, like literally tip to stern, like opt-in page to checkout page. And that was cool, you know? And then, so we're like, okay, we need like dozens of these and like just all this like data in here. And until we're ready, we're going to send you this thing called Cloner, and you can copy and paste like an email that you like, or a lead of a sales letter that you like, or a video, a YouTube script that you like, and choose your blueprint. And it will say, okay, what are the persuasion patterns in this? Figure it out based on the thousands of blueprints that we've trained it on, and say, how do I mirror those blueprints, the blueprint data from my customer over top of this, and use their language and the language of this because they like it, and make this completely new hybrid model of it, we call it Cloner. And really, in reality, it's kind of like the fly, you know, except without the disastrous results. It's kind of like merging, you know, two species together. But out comes this copy that is still to this very day some of the best copy that Vincent's written. It's just creepy cool how cool it is. And then we have a uniqueness score to make sure that if it's only 20% unique, you might want to scratch it. But we're pegging 50-60% uniqueness, so it's like completely different than the original, and it's really that. So yeah, so if we don't have a framework trained in Benson, you can find anything that you want within 1500 words. Well, you can find more than that, just do it in chunks, but up to 1500 words, and copy paste click, and it's yours. And wow. that type of power, that type of cool factor doesn't, that's really hard to find, you know.
So want to dive a little bit deeper into like the kind of the journey that someone goes through when they're using Benson, and then want to like talk about the fact that, like you said yourself, it's very much MVF right now, and our MVP, what's coming in the future is just going to make it even better again.
Yep.
So like in terms, the way I see it, so someone, they join Benson and they're logging in. The first thing they need to do is to set up their blueprint. Mm-hmm. And then once they have their blueprint set up, it just makes everything so that much more seamless. So what entails in setting up the blueprint? Like what's involved in doing that?
Well, you can do this one of three ways. And the easiest way to do it is with copy and paste. On the demo, I'm going to take a sip of water real quick here. on the demo, I proved the point that you don't need to be a copywriter to create a blueprint. So I proved the point by going to Wikipedia and saying, I'm going to choose the first description of something. I think it was chiropractic care or low carbohydrate dieting. I forget. I did both actually. And then just copy and pasted those 300 words into the blueprint creator and clicked a button. That's all I did. So obviously it didn't catch my name. It didn't catch my offer name. So, but Benson will just ask you for that when you need it. Like it'll, if you go, oh, give me this sales letter. Okay. I need a couple of things. I need your name. I need your offer name. I need your offer price. But you fill that in once, right? It's super easy. If you don't have an offer name, it'll create one for you, which is kind of cool. But so that's the very first thing you do. Or you do, you put about 15 minutes worth of work into it and say, okay, I'm going to type those 300 words about me. Like I'm so-and-so and I do this. My audience is so-and-so and here's my offer, all about my offer. I sell this and it helps people do this and blah, blah, blah. And everything that you don't know, Benson will figure out. But Benson can take as little as 30 words and create an entire blueprint, which by the way, we charge 10 grand for years to create an offer blueprint for people, which is every word, every phrase that that avatar needs to hear in order to say yes. Like what are the goals, dreams, hopes, fears, and how should you phrase them? So that's the important thing. How are they worded? Where do the verbs fall in the sentences? Where do, you know, what do you emphasize and underemphasize? So, I mean, all this copywriting stuff, which is, it took, you know, 10,000 blueprints done manually to be able to train Benson on how to do this automatically. And that takes about 20 seconds to do. So we've done $10,000 worth of work in 20 seconds, which is great. And once you have your blueprint, you can edit it to your liking. You can change the words and so that your words can come out exactly if you want. You can add things, obviously. You can add new things if you want. And then from there, you just click and go, I'm going to create some project. What do you need to create? You need to create an email. You need to create an ad. You need a advertorial, sales letter, VSL, webinar, whatever you need to create, all inside the projects. Just click, go. That's really all there is to it. Or you can choose to clone something. You can say, I've got this kick-ass email from Tony Robbins. And I'd love to hear what it sounds like for a chiropractor. You see, it's even better when they're not even remotely related. So don't take copy that, if you're a chiropractor, for example, don't take another chiropractor's email because it will sound too similar. Take something that you, something, someone else that you follow. Like, oh, I got an email from my friend Scott Devine, great bass player. Got this really great promotional email he sent out for his new offer. I'm going to use that and create one for Benson, which I did just the other day. I created an email for a promo for Benson. So just it read perfectly because Benson's able to understand, oh, he's using this phrase over here, which is equivalent to your phrase over here. And this is using this kind of things, which is, it does it for you. So, yeah. So thank you, Scotty. That was awesome.
So obviously Benson is an absolute dream to copywriters. Yeah. Like they immediately see the value in Benson and like they've been joining in droves because if you're a copywriter that has any chops at all, it's just going to make you more efficient, faster output, and to be able to leverage the result that copy produces that much quicker. But like, what other people, what other markets do you see like Benson? Mm-hmm. What other industries, whatever, like what other niches, what other people do you see Benson helping? Obviously, there's a lot of different markets out there, but like beyond copywriters, mm-hmm. like, there's a big pool of people. So what kind of other businesses can Benson help?
Yeah, our number one client is entrepreneurs, small business owners. And so those tend to break out into course creators, email marketers, marketing agencies, and people that need ads. So people that run YouTube ads, Facebook ads, they need scripts, they need a lot of things to test. So that's the largest segment of our offers of our audience. It's actually bigger than copywriters, which is sort of surprising. So that's the majority of small business owners need some form of copy. The majority of any business owner needs some form of copy, but certainly small and medium-sized business owners need that. Course creators, especially because course creators, if you have an offer that you sell, for example, we just now, I worked out a situation with ClickBank, the digital online merchant, and we trained Benson on the top ClickBank offers of all time.
Wow.
So
that's huge.
Yeah. because ClickBank is super specific. ClickBank is like, you can use all of those offers on ClickBank. You can use them anywhere on Google and Facebook. It doesn't matter where. But on ClickBank specifically, and I know from being involved with ClickBank for literally 20 years, started in 2004 and had two of the top offers in the top 10, was the first guy to do that. So, and written, I'd say about 17 of those offers on ClickBank that were number one. So written a lot of offers. And so we've taken how we know we have to write offers and how other people have written offers on their own, which are brilliant, and taking those models and saying, well, Benson, learn from this. So by the time we go live, which is going to be in a week or two with ClickBank, we'll have a lot of the number one offers and their campaigns. Like, what were their upsells? What were their emails? How are they promoting these offers? So that's what we want to train on. So if you sell something on ClickBank, obviously it doesn't have to be ClickBank. You could be selling something on your own platform. It doesn't matter. But if you think about what a ClickBank offer is, if you don't know, a ClickBank offer is almost always a VSL or sales letter that goes to an upsell that has emails that are drive it, and it's direct response focused. So it's in other words, it's selling for course creators. If you have a weight loss book, or you have a dog training book, or you have a supplement, or you have some sort of a new way of doing X, could be something financial, Forex, could be any of that stuff. Those are prime candidates for using Benson for sure.
Fantastic. And so with say, let's focus on say course creators, because obviously there's a lot of people out there selling courses, whether they're high ticket courses, front-end courses, mm-hmm. and everything else in between. So, like, let's say a course creator they have their course done, but they've maybe launched it with their own copy, or maybe they've hired like a not so good copywriter to say it politely, mm-hmm. and like things haven't been going well with their VSL is not converting, their sales page not converting. How would Benson help them like go from bad result to good result, and what kind of time frame are they looking at?
Well, you could take, for example, let's take a VSL. Let's say that you have a video sales letter. Okay. And you want to say, well, that's not getting a good result. Let me test this. You could test just the lead of a VSL that Benson could write. One of 10, you know, you could just pick your leads. You could pick your VSL and just create the first two sections of the VSL, which is the lead, or the first very first section, which is the lead in many cases. And just create that and replace it. You could do that in 15 minutes. So that's just impossible. And I'm talking about from scratch. So from scratch, you would, if you have an offer, you'd come in, create a blueprint, take 300 words out of your offer. I would just, if I were you, I would, there's a great way to do this in actually using ChatGPT. If you really want to get really tricky, you can grab all 6,000, 8,000 words of your offer and stick it in ChatGPT and say, hey, condense this into 300 words using this focus. You know, you could do that, but you don't need to do that. Benson's so smart. You could just say, okay, here's my offer. Here's who I am. And here's the features. Copy and paste. Take you, 3 minutes to copy and paste from a script. Let Benson recreate the blueprint. It'll find stuff that you're copywriter didn't find. I guarantee it'll make stuff up that your copywriter's never heard of. It'll make up hooks for you. It'll make up limited beliefs. It will look up statistics, which, by the way, with statistics, all AI hallucinates. So you definitely want to check your statistics. We can't do anything about that. It's all of AI. GPT-5 supposedly is going to fix that. I hope so. But we've been pretty happy with, 60-70% of the time, the stats are correct. But double check your stats. But the point is that, pulling in a whole bunch of data like that really does help. And then just go in to any VSL we have in our project creator, or click sales letter leads. You could click that and you'll see a list of them, and just go click the magic button. I mean, fill in maybe two or three things that you might not have filled in on your blueprint, and then boom, you've got a lead. And you can click rewrite all you want. You can refine it from there. You can say, dumb it down, make it simpler, make it punchy, separate it line by line. There are all these kind of things that you would do as a copywriter or a marketer you could do. And you can do that within 15 minutes. I mean, that's an insane promise to make, that within 15 minutes, you could have a brand new sales letter lead that could destroy the current lead that you have. I mean, absolutely destroy. And the reason I say it could is because obviously you have to test it, right? You have to test. The greatest copywriters in the world have written bombs. Big news for folks here. Not all copy, no matter how good the source is going to convert. If that were true, me and John Carlton and Gary Benzavanga and Gary Halbert would have never written a bomb. Chris Haddad, we've all written bombs, all of us. because we're human and because it, the weirdness of copy is, but the thing is we write more hits than the other person. Very much like, you know, Babe Ruth, who's an old baseball player that struck out more than anybody else, but he also led the league in home runs. Same basic strategy, right? We just happen to be really good at hitting those home runs. So we're taking copy that we know absolutely hit home runs and trained Benson on nothing but that copy. So your odds of getting closer to a home run are infinitely higher to me, infinitely higher. I mean, especially starting from scratch. I mean, my God, you know. So yeah, that's why you can do it so fast. And that's the whole idea behind Benson.
Amazing. So MVP right now, as good as it is, it's not the finished product.
No.
So where do you see it? What do you see in, like, what's coming in the next 6 months? What's coming in the next 12 months, 2 years?
Yeah.
Without, you know, giving away if there's any secret stuff coming, like, you don't have to give away everything, but where do you see Benson going specifically?
Yeah, it's a great question. And it's going to be more expensive for sure. So, and people have the access. So right now with an MVP deal, it's very reasonable to get into Benson. And we also give
we'll talk about that shortly as well.
Yeah, absolutely. But we also give people 24/7 access to our private circle group. So you're not just in there with marketers. I'm in there every single day, 7 days a week. No kidding. And our team is in there every single day. So you're talking directly with people who are building in the AI. And because of that, a lot of our MVPers, we just call MVPers, they say, hey, you know what would be great is this framework. And we allow them to submit it. We have a submission form, submit this, and we'll put our team on it. And our team's already built like 20 different frameworks that people have submitted. Like, hey, this is a great framework that I found. I need this. You guys don't have it. It's a B2B, whatever. So, oh, great. So we'll build it. You won't have access like that anywhere else. It's just, and by the way, that will obviously end at the end of the MVP because there's no way we can keep up with the numbers. So yeah, where it's going to go from here is pretty intense. I mean, we're just getting started with how the functionality is going to work. In the next 6 months, Benson you can tell it what you need. Like, in other words, if you're an advanced marketer and you know you need an advertorial, no problem. But you won't have to choose anything. You'll just say, Benson, I need an advertorial. Okay, great. Go grab a ham sandwich. I'll make you four of them. Come back and it'll be ready for you. And you know, you won't have to grab a ham sandwich, or just grab a sandwich if you don't like ham. You won't have time because it will make it for you in a couple of minutes, right? So that's where we're going with this, is that it's just going to remove just everything. Is just going to be just simple requests. And even to the point, if you don't know what you don't know, like, I don't know what I need, Benson will just say, well, just tell me who you are and a little bit about what you're wanting to do. Well, my name's Bob and I have an offer about birds and I don't know where I want to sell it. And I don't even know how much I should charge for it. So you're just talking. Okay. You're just talking, right? And Benson will go, okay, let me think about this. Okay. Here's what I think that you need. This, 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 this. And here's why. Would you like me to create this for you? Click. Magic button. That's where we're going.
I love it.
So that's a year away, folks. So don't hang out and wait for that. But in the interim, there, we just got to get some of the more, the MVP is clearly, for me, it's clearly an MVP, not for quality of output, because the quality of output's insane. I mean, we get people giving us insane testimonials every day, but it's from, like, we don't have a search engine yet. So people have to scroll. That's changing next week just because we had to change databases. We're updating things, to adding niceties to the UX and stuff like that. That's why it's technically in MVP. But I'm also looking forward to some things like we're going to roll out something called Improver. Improver will roll out in the next 4 to 5 months, where just like Cloner, you just click Improver and you copy and paste whatever copy that you currently have. And Benson we're training Benson on this. This is 100% on me. So if it doesn't work, you can blame me. The other stuff, you can't blame me on it because it's trained on everything else. But I have a specific editing system, and it was a course that I was planning on releasing and probably still will release in 2024. But I'm training Benson on all the elements of this course. This course is like 20 sections deep. It's extremely thick. And editing copy is the most important part of getting copy to convert. Absolutely critical. And if you don't, I'm not talking about editing for grammar. I'm talking about how do you take every sentence and word it to where every sentence is a benefit. Every sentence feels just perfectly the rhythm is good. The it's chunky. It's connecting. It's visceral. It feels real. How do you do that? Well, we're in the process of training the AI to do that, and that's going to be rolled out called Improver. So you'll be able to use Improver on existing Benson copy, just improve it, you know, make it better, or use it on your own copy. So that's going to be its own separate thing that, that people can buy. In other words, I'm just going to, if you hire a copy editor, best money you could spend, there's only a handful of guys that do it well. But those are the letters that break those 10 million a month marks, are the ones that are tightly edited. And yeah, that's what we want to do with AI. So that's what's coming up.
Amazing. So what's the, there's an insane, crazy special offer for Benson right now. And you said you don't know how long it's going to last, but what is that offer and where can people go get it?
Yeah. So that offer is, we charge $499 to get into the application. And the reason we do that is twofold. Number one is we're going to create an offer blueprint for you right off the bat. And that's a $10,000 price tag on what that's going to be worth for your business. So we make you pay to play. We don't do refunds. We don't do tire kicking. We don't do any of that crap. If you can't figure this out, it ain't for you. If you look at the demo and go, oh, I don't know about that, then you're not. It's not for you. No hard feelings. But we're curating a very specific audience here. Very specific audience where people look at it and go, holy shit, that is insane. Where do I sign up? So it's $4.99 and $49 a month, just $49 a month. And that's unlimited access. So we don't word count you. We don't token count you. We don't do any of that AI stuff. You can use unlimited projects, unlimited use of the machine. That's per user, of course. So that's on a per user license. But that's just ridiculously inexpensive for a copy that is high level and A-list quality. So now that price will go up for sure, 100%. But that's where we're at right now with the MVP.
And where can people go to sign up?
Yeah, the best place to go is just Benson.ai. And Benson is BNSN.ai. It's my last name without the vowels because I'm an arrogant bastard. I called it Benson. Actually, it's kind of stuck. And we looked at it. It's like, yeah, the name looks cool and kind of sounds cool.
To be fair.
You should change your surname spelling. Just
yeah,
to sure, cool yeah,
yeah. AI. Yeah, yeah. Sure, my wife would love that.
Anything else you want to add or share before we wrap up?
Well, the last thing, if I can, I am really focused on creating not only the best copywriting AI on the planet, which I think we have, but copywriting AI that I myself can use for every single thing that I ever need. So the benchmark for Benson, and all of our team knows this, is I have to use it for everything I would ever need, meaning if I still wrote for clients, which I don't much at all anymore, but because I just don't have time. But if a client came to me and said, hey, I'm writing a letter in the survival space and I need to get this letter written and blah, blah, blah. So I could turn to Benson if I wanted to. Now, I love to write. So I'm not saying I would do this, but I could turn to Benson, not just for the letter, but for everything else. But also for things like, oh, I've got a B2B client. Well, I don't write B2B. I have a client that needs some weird thing that I don't know. I have never written before. I'm not going to rest until I can go in and say, I can get A-level copy out of this myself for every single thing that I need. And so the benchmark is very high, very, very high. And also that's carried over into our team. So I might not even know that somebody needs something. And one of my team members goes, oh, you know what? This is super popular. I had never heard, I'm never on TikTok because I'm not 10 and because, you know, I don't like it. But but we have one of our copywriters who is a big TikTok copywriter. And I saw, like, he said, oh, here's an ad for TikTok. And he gave a 3-letter acronym for the ad. And I was like, I have no idea what that means, man. I think you need to spell it out. He goes, no, everyone on TikTok would know what that means. So I have no idea because I'm never on TikTok. So I'm like, okay, we'll leave it. That's great. The TikTok influencers and people that need TikTok ads will get that. Wonderful. But I never would have known that I would have needed that. So we're going to, if it can't do that, then we're not. Then I'm not happy with it yet. I'm going to keep pushing that envelope.
I mean, that says it all, really. I mean, when you want it to get to the point where it's like you'd use it for absolutely everything, like that sets the bar where it should be. And like, that's proof in the pudding that like, this isn't just some software that you're selling just for the sake of selling it. And this is the real deal. So, John, this has been absolutely incredible. Guys, I would be heading over to Benson.ai. If you're watching this or listening to this, head over to Benson.ai, grab that special offer, get in there, set up your blueprint and start using it to create your email, start using it to create a VSL. If you're using VSLs, creating your sales copy, creating your YouTube ads, your Facebook ads, and everything in between, because it's echelons above what chat can do from a copy point of view. And I've used chat a lot for copy, like, and I've used it a lot for scripts, a lot for research, a lot for everything. But like, in terms of actually producing copy that you'd stand behind and be proud of, you got to be using Benson. So
thank
for
you.
Sure.
Thank you so much, John. I appreciate the time today. And thanks everybody for listening. You'll see lots of testimonials and demo over on the side if you want to check it out, including a before and after with chat, which is kind of fun. So
yeah, really, really cool. I love that.
Yeah.
Cheers, John.
All right. Cheers, John. Thanks.